Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February. I almost said March. February 1st. One down, 11 to go.
Right.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fantastic. So today in the studio is Mr. Trey Bell. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
In your adventure van.
I'm here. Yep.
Dude, I love YouTube. I could just have YouTube and just YouTube. That's really about all I watch. Maybe a little sports on a couple of the other channels, mm-hmm. but I love YouTube. I love all the people out there doing great stuff on YouTube. You sort of are doing what we see a lot of on YouTube, which is adventuring around the United States, I guess, in your van. But you're not doing YouTube, which I sort of commend you on that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's been a thought to do a YouTube channel, but it just seems like a lot of extra stuff, and I kind of like to be present in the moment when I'm on these trips.
Yeah, well, I think that we're hearing a lot of people now, especially at concerts, like, put down your phone, right? Everybody's videotaping the whole concert instead of looking or using their own eyes to watch the concert. I mean, I get it. I do enjoy a good video, you know, a little clip to prove I was there, but you know, I think you're making a good point. I think we can get a little lost in the project and forget about exactly the medium, right?
Oh, totally. And I mean, it's something that I know for, I guess, like a marketing standpoint, like I could probably put myself out there a lot more if I did create more content that way. But
yeah,
some of it's just like I just want to be here and with nature or the people I'm with and, yeah, just be present.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we've known each other for a while. I reached out to you because I saw we're friends on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you were writing down some pretty cool, thoughtful stuff, which I think is always great. But mm-hmm. you know, we have a little bit of history because you were working over at Rise. Mm-hmm. We've had Ryan on the podcast several times. Oh, cool. Love Ryan.
Yeah, he's great.
He's chiseled up right now.
He totally is.
I was looking at his Instagram. I'm like, I'm friends with that guy. I mean, he is awesome, right?
Totally.
Go for it, Ryan. Yeah. And he's living that. He's having that totally. Fun with it. But he had the rock wall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you have kids yet?
My girlfriend has a 12-year-old daughter. So
okay,
not my own, but, you know, definitely in the parenting scene with that.
Yep. So maybe you get to experience this, but when your child shows some sort of interest, mm-hmm. right? You get all on board, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And David, you know, he was getting older. He was interested in maybe working on the gym, but he wanted to do the rock wall. And so we went over to Rise, and you taught him. You know, we did some lessons, mm-hmm. sort of trained him.
Yeah.
And I've always thought I had a lot of respect for you, just the way you handled that situation. And, you know, just always been a big fan. And so when I saw you, I read something. I'm like, this guy is deep, man. I go, are you in town? We got to chat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that was really cool working with David mm-hmm. for that time period. It's cool, you know, because I worked as a psychotherapist predominantly, when you get to watch someone do an activity that you're passionate about and see the passion that they potentially have in it, it just kind of drives you a little bit more, and you also get to see the full person, you know, the frustration that comes along with that and their willingness to learn or unwillingness to learn and just be coached. And, it just draws out the person a little bit more when I get to see them in action doing something like that.
Well, whether it's running or climbing mm-hmm. the wall or, you know, we go right to the edge, right before the miracle happens, right? Because mm-hmm. I always say, right, don't stop before the miracle. I didn't create that, but I've heard that, and mm-hmm. I like the philosophy of that. But, you know, it's right, like I told you this morning, James, and my buddy James and I ran this morning, and we run, and then everything in my mind saying, stop, walk, mm-hmm. you know, just walk. You're tired. And then I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, what'd you do that for? Because that's right where you push through that moment is where mm-hmm. the miracle takes place. Whether it's climbing, I mean, a lot of personal PBs, right, in rock climbing. Mm-hmm. If it's one, just getting off the floor.
Totally.
I mean, it can be just like, just get to get off the floor is a huge undertaking. But, you know, we have a lot of these PBs, but, you know, I think it was great because you really helped David get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, whether it's just push past a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but just to get a taste of what it's like to say no to say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And, yeah, what you're talking about is kind of what I was posting about, I think, the other day on the social medias, where it's just like, you know, we create pain for ourselves, and some of that pain is just discomfort kind of leaving the body and getting us to that next step. But then sometimes we also cause pain for ourselves that, you know, is just painful, and it creates more suffering for us.
Well, I use the term, if I'm not suffering, I'm not living.
Yeah.
Because really, that's, to me, as a guy that's had to really go through multi facets of a life up to this point, I've learned I need to suffer. I need to work. I need to run. I need to, and when I say suffer, I don't mean like hit by a car. That's, I mean, you know, I need to do what that voice, whatever that other voice in my head that's saying no, I need to do the opposite and push through.
Yeah, there's this, I was taking a certification to be a holistic health coach years ago. And one of the presenters was this guy, Mastin Kipp. I think I don't know if he still runs it, but he used to run the Daily Love. This is like this channel, and he talked about his life story. But one of the interesting pieces of that lecture that he was teaching was using fear as a compass to direct you in the direction you need to go in. And, you know, not that like fear, like physical pain or like I'm going to hurt myself kind of thing, but like using that to go to a path to make you better.
Well, I was, you know, it's funny that we're going to, I guess we'll talk a little bit about, you know, fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. It's like how many of the decisions I've made in my life that put me on a path to wherever I was going to go were based on fear?
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yeah.
Everything. Every decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's, you know, I like to think that, you know, my life is God, love, whatever, peace, right? And as soon as my eyes open, fear is introduced, whether it's through an alarm clock, you know, our children wanting, you know, and it's not that I'm afraid, but, you know, all of a sudden I got to get up and make them lunch so they're not late. I'm in fear of them being late. I have to get to work because I'm in fear of making, you know, not having money, not surviving. But my whole life, really, you know, I guess to when I could start making decisions has really been based on fear.
Totally.
It's kind of weird.
Well, but we do have a negativity bias that's just built into our brains. Evolutionary, right? We're always like watching our back millions of years ago. It was like a saber-toothed tiger or whatever, making sure we had fire, food, water, the whole thing to take care of the families. And
because of our fear of them dying and starving and, you know, dehydration. And it's, that's crazy.
Yeah. So you literally have to train the brain to do the opposite, to see like the positive things. In your situation.
Exactly. Well, and I think that we also live in a sort of a society that is, you know, because I think we love to preach, or people love to preach, especially in this sort of positive thing, is like, you know, stay in the moment, right? Don't worry about tomorrow, right? Or don't worry about yesterday. But we live in a society that it's all based on yesterday and tomorrow.
Totally.
Nothing talks about the present.
Yeah.
What happens if, I can't believe they did that. It's right. Just this. So when people start saying, hey, stay in the moment, it feels good.
It does.
To stay in the moment. It is a lot to carry. The fear that makes base is really the back of all of our decisions today. And living in the past and in the future. It's hard to really put together.
100%. And, you know, if you don't look at the future, you can't accomplish a goal either. And,
right.
And so, you know, if you want to buy a house, you have to save money for a down payment on a house. So it's
absolutely,
you know, so that's part present, because you got to decide what you're going to spend your money on right now in this moment, but with this intent for a future goal.
Right.
And so I think a lot of people get hung up on expectations. So yeah, it's something I talk a lot about with people, where you can have a goal that you want to accomplish, but the expectation of completing that goal leads to emotional suffering.
Well, could the goal be I want a house one day, or could the goal be I want to get up today, stay in the moment, do the best that I can? Usually, like, you remember, did you know Matt Haley?
Matt Haley, I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him.
He used to say, man, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll all work out. And I'm like, got it, yep. Right? But, you know, but staying in the moment and trying to push through these things, it's tough. It is a tough, and I think we're finding a lot of people pretty bummed out because if you can get a hold of someone and start to, you know, give suggestions about staying in the moment, it's funny when someone starts to do that, and they're like, wow, this is really helpful. Like, I hadn't realized.
Totally. I mean, I preach a lot of meditation, a lot of mindfulness work, and a lot of things that I do with other people and myself.
Right.
And it's also tough. You know, speaking about fear, we've lived in a society based on fear, like, especially the past couple of years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a guy, he was a psychiatrist. I may have said this before, but mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, how many people that are being diagnosed depression or bipolar? And listen, I've been diagnosed with both, mm-hmm. so don't go get mad at me. I have them. But, you know, depression, and I said, how many people just aren't getting what they want? He said probably 75, 85% of people.
Yeah. It's hard work to be happy.
It takes a lot of work to be normal.
Yeah.
Well, and we were talking coming in. I said, you know, and I was sort of praising you and just telling you how much I appreciated when your relationship with David and doing the rock wall. And I said, you know, it was really awesome. But the reality is that it's about normal, right? This is what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the meter has gotten sort of so low that now normal looks amazing. Like,
yeah, totally.
This guy being normal is amazing. We'll talk about meditation because I think that I'm big into meditation, mm-hmm. but I've been sort of involved in that for so long that I almost feel like I live in a state of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Like,
I'm constantly sort of centered. I'm sort of always trying to stay in the moment. I'll mm-hmm. jump here and there a little bit, but, you know, because as a person that's been in recovery, you know, I have to stay in the moment.
Totally.
The picture gets too big for me. So, but I can sort of stay in it, and it's like meditation, but share your thoughts on meditation.
Yeah, I mean, I want to learn from you too. Yeah. As far as that's concerned, I mean, I'm actually excited. Next month, I actually start a 2-year program to become a certified mindfulness meditation teacher.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. So I'll have more in a year or two
Do you know Eddie Harold?
I don't know.
Oh, you got to look up Eddie Harold.
Really?
He was here. Yeah. He had a studio, yoga studio. He is a breathing guru.
Ooh.
You have got to find Eddie Harold. I'd love to get him on this podcast. He comes around.
Mm-hmm.
They had the studio, I think, over where the World Bread place is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind mm-hmm. of...
I used to live back there.
Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. converted railway station mm-hmm. or something. But we used to do yoga and meditation. And he's like, all right, I want you to focus and create in your mind a tennis ball.
Hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there, and I've got my eyes closed, and you know, and the idea for me, at least my interpretation of meditation, is really for him giving me the task of imagining a tennis ball, you literally can't think of anything else. Mm-hmm. It is not easy to create a tennis ball in your mind, a green, mm-hmm. fuzzy tennis ball. But I would do it, and I could do it, you know, with practice and stuff. But then I started realizing, like, the tennis ball would spin,
mm-hmm.
or it would get smooth, or small, mm-hmm. or bigger. And I was like, what is that? What's mm-hmm. that about? You know, what is this, reflecting that's going on in my mind?
What did Eddie say?
I didn't ask him. I was, uh-huh. this is my own journey.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm onto something. I ain't telling him. No, I mean, but I guess the point was, it reflects kind of the mood I'm in. You know, if mm-hmm. I've had a good day or overworked or stressed or, you know, caught up in things that I can't control, you know, I think it reflects in what I meditate, how I meditate.
For sure.
The visual.
Yeah, I mean, my whole philosophy is we're trying to train the brain to do what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
Versus it going wherever it goes. And it's still going to go.
Yep.
From time to time. But the more you train it, just like, you know, going to the gym.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal.
Do you ever practice, like, when you go to bed and lay in bed at night, are you the guy that just lays down and goes to sleep?
70% of the time.
70%. Yeah. Well, I think it's such a, it's almost, might sound a little weird, but I love the adventure of just going to bed and laying with my eyes closed and really paying attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I close my eyes, there's like this, it's like a silhouette of fear.
Yeah.
It's very strange, but it's like, it's not black. mm-hmm. right? It's just like this tent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, right? Like, I'm in my world.
Yeah.
And I start to, you know, maybe I'll pray, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, give gratitude, mm-hmm. Recognize I'm not the most important person in the in my head. And that shade will lift.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, it'll become like a picture, like mm-hmm. a landscape. Like, I'm there.
Yeah.
Like, I can clear my mind so much that I can see the sun, imagine the sun, and turn away because it's so bright.
That's amazing.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever, do you get into that stuff?
I mean, what you're talking about is what I totally teach and preach a lot of times.
Yeah.
Is just allowing the moment or the thought or the feeling to just be there and not trying to avoid it. A lot of times that's when we get caught into these... caught in more suffering
yeah.
is when we try to avoid whatever it is that's coming up for us.
Yeah.
So you just allow yourself to be present with whatever is.
It's so cool.
It washes over and then...
I believe that our brain... I think this whole body is just a brain car. It's just a vehicle totally. To move this mashed potato around mm-hmm. the planet. It's like, take me over there. Let right. me see what's in that box. But it's, you know, and... you know, if they sold this vehicle in Dover, I wonder what we would pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And if we had to buy it, would we treat it better?
Oh, man. I would think so. Depending on how much you
it's
paid for it.
It's such a gift.
Yeah, it is. It is such a gift. I know. I try to treat mine well every day.
It's,
you know, it's important. What you eat, what you consume visually, what you consume emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, physical activity.
It's a tough world out there, and it's a lot of opportunity to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And I know even like with diet, health, and age, I know I'm getting old. How old are you now?
38.
I'm 54. And, you know, I think every 54-year-old's like, I'm going to be better than the rest. I'm going to mm-hmm. take care of myself, and I'm going to live in this great life. But the reality is that time does catch up, and
yeah.
you can be... Even Pele died, right? And
totally.
Pele was the shit.
He was the
man, and he still died.
Yeah.
So it's eventually going to happen. But it's trying to figure out how can I make the best of it. Because right now, I think at 50 years old, even 60, this is the prime of my life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I can't, you know, lunge over a fence mm-hmm. or climb a tree with one arm. But, you know, hopefully I've got a job, right? And
right.
established some sort of financial security and have family to share with. And hopefully I'm going through that transition of a more of a humble person than I am a self person,
mm-hmm.
you know. It should be the best time of my life, and it is.
Yeah.
But just trying to figure out how to make the best of it, it's tough.
Totally. I mean, 100% agree. I feel like every year I gain is just another year of wisdom. And as long as you keep treating your body well,
yeah,
the mind continues to craft itself. As long as you're open and willing to continue to learn,
yeah,
I think that's one of the key parts in life.
Do you train... Do you do like workout training with weights and that kind of stuff, or is it just more up in the main brain?
I do a little bit of everything. I'm definitely not as weight training per se as I used to be.
Yeah,
like when I was living here full time, I was definitely a gym rat in there all the time. And
yeah, but I see. I think yeah. I look at a guy like you, and I think that's the guy that I want to be like. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not like huge.
Mm-hmm.
You're strong. You know, you can hang by your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But you're lean, right? You look nimble, like you could spring from a wall or a perch at any moment.
That's the goal.
I mean, you know, how big, I've always thought about wanting, and I've had my moments in the gym and working out and getting big, and I think it was just because I wanted to kick everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Right? There's just this fear, yeah. right? More right. fear in my head mm-hmm. that, you know, I've got to finally get to a point where I can pretty much demolish everybody. And then you're like, well, this is really not what I want to do.
Yeah.
So it's hard. That's another path. You know, I'm like, I'm going to work out, but I'm not going to get real big.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start working out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get a little bigger.
Feels good.
It yeah. feels good. Uh-huh. I was, did you watch any football this weekend?
A little bit, yeah.
The caricatures. Do you
oh, man.
I want a caricature yeah. of me cutting hair, but just ripped, yeah. you know, but holding like a hairdryer and like some scissors.
20-inch bicep.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, the only... I think the maybe Joey Bosa actually is the size of his caricature.
Okay.
You know, yeah. he's ripped. I'm like, now that's an official caricature, but some of these guys are Brock Purdy, his caricature yeah. was jacked. I'm right. like, I need a awesome caricature.
Right, totally. That's hilarious.
Some good shadowing in my tri and biceps.
That's awesome.
So at 38, what do you think you've seen? What have you, you know, I don't want to wrap up life, but, you know, I think you've come out of coming out of my 20s, my teens, you know, we think one thing. And then, you know, as you say, you wanted one more day of wisdom. What are some of the bigger things that you felt like that have maybe weren't as important as a younger person, but now that you're finding as you do get older, what has become like really a priority?
Man, well, love. I think is like number one.
Yep.
In reflection, like I can really appreciate the love that I was shown by my family.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that has been one of the most significant things that I can feel and I've seen in my life. Cause it's allowed the ability for me to receive love and give love. And that's an issue that I see with a lot of people.
That's a big one. Receiving.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That's the biggest.
You think that helps you understand what it's like to give?
I think so.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, I remember as a kid just, you know, trying to over, you know, because I, you know, I want you to know I love you, so we do mm-hmm. so much. And, you know, Matt was great with that. He, mm-hmm. you know, he grew up, he taught me all about just silence, you know, and how scared I was of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd be like, come on over, man. Sit down and we'll chat. I'd be like, all right. And he just wouldn't say anything. I'm like, okay. I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? He's like, I didn't ask you to come over and talk, man. I just wanted to just chill. I was like, oh, all right. But, man, the silence is painful.
Totally.
And then every time I would see him, I'd be like, I'm not saying anything. But it's funny how we evolve and realize that what we thought might have been important maybe isn't as important anymore. And, you know, agreed. I love that. I believe that every day, I think all day is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's all peace. You know, I'm involved in another program, but there's this thing that they talk about, the spiritual awakening. You know, I think we could all have it.
Oh, man.
It doesn't have to be, I don't have to be the only lucky guy just because I can't drink vodka.
For sure.
To have a great spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I don't understand how you have a spiritual awakening. And I remember in the beginning thinking, you know, is this spiritual little buddy's going to pop out of the floor and be like my, you know, like a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reality is that it's, for me, it's the byproduct of removing a lot of other crap.
Mm.
If I'm like, hey, Trey, I'm going to give you a Corvette. You're like, or I'm going to give you a new van.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like a Corvette guy.
I'm not a Corvette guy, no.
Cool van, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we will talk about your van.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's say I say, Trey, I'm going to give you this great van. And you're like, yeah, thank you, man. And then I take the keys and I throw them in the garage. And then I fill the garage with boxes and I shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, I can't drive the van without my keys.
Right.
So you got to go find the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And the keys are under a bunch of boxes that say, like, relationships, finance, you know, fear. Mm. And then you got to start looking at them, finding accountability. I have to. You know, I had to. I had to start mm-hmm. finding accountability. Why is this fear important or relevant? And if it isn't, I have to either, if it is, I have to figure out why. And if it isn't, I have to move it.
Yep.
But eventually I will find a path to that spiritual awakening. And I think we all have a spirit.
I agree.
It's just covered up with self-centered fear.
Totally. And yeah, and a lifetime worth of conditioning of whatever experiences we've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all those boxes are all those things you're talking about.
Well, and there's, you know, I always think we do somehow get a path,
mm-hmm.
but it's this wall on each side of more fear. And, you know, they can fall in every once in a while. Just when you think life is kind of going smooth and I've got it all figured out, the top box falls in on your path. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, you know, where did that nightmare come from?
Totally. It's always coming up all the time. Mm-hmm.
So do you want to have are you going to start a business? Are you going to do like individual stuff or work with people? What do you want for 2028?
28.
So that gives you 5 years.
Long-term goals. Well, actually, so I recently did just start my own private practice.
Okay.
A couple months ago.
Are you going to do it out of this area or mobile?
All of the above.
Okay.
So when I'm in town, I have a space and then that I can meet with people in person should they want to do that. But I have been doing mostly remote work for the last few years. Yeah.
It seems to be the theme of the last couple of years.
It has.
Everybody going remote.
It has. And it's actually you know, there's upside and downside. You know, when you meet with someone in person, there's like an energetic exchange that's kind of beautiful and, you know, great to experience. And at the same time, if someone's car breaks down or they're not feeling particularly well, they can still show up on a call.
Yeah.
So they're coming all the time.
Right.
Whereas before, when you have to drive to an office, make sure you're there, you know, like you could see a lot of people not show up sometimes.
Yeah. Do you feel like it sort of falls back into that, because listen, there's a lot of Zoom stuff and it's whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, back sort of to that, if I'm not suffering, I'm not living. There's an inconvenience about doing certain things, you know, over this last couple of years, and programs that I've been involved in have, which I never thought we would ever see not be open, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The only thing that stayed open were liquor stores.
Yeah, totally.
You know why? Because they were afraid that people were going to have withdrawals.
Totally.
And die.
And go to the hospital and eat up another bed. Yeah, totally.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of these other programs closed down because of the thing, and everybody went to Zoom. But to me, I feel like, you know, that's the point of it. The inconvenience, right? Mm-hmm. We get better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We get better. Hey, thank you, Trey.
Yeah.
You helped me.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't take everything and then leave. You have to continue to give back. There has to be, you know, if I, like I'll do meetings and I'll say, you know, I would prefer to sit here with my family because this is awesome, but this is what I've signed up for. It's an inconvenience. It's about humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always that battle between what self wants and humility, what something else wants.
Totally.
And if I don't balance it, it can be a challenge.
Agreed.
And so Zoom is... We're still appreciating it because it's there, but there's still something about getting off your couch, going to wherever it is you got to go, and having a meeting.
Yep, totally. So, yeah, so, I mean, I definitely promote that and prefer that when I'm in the area, and then I can kind of travel and, you know, be wherever, climbing or surfing or, you know, do my thing, still help people out, feel like I serve a purpose and have a meaningful existence here and, you know, and...
Where's some of the places you've been? Because I will say, you know, we met you, we were doing training, and then you left.
Yep.
And I've kind of watched you. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? And I don't know where he went, but then you're back, and then you leave, and then you're back. So that's what I'm kind of trying to figure out, a sort of schedule, what it's like for Trey Bell on 365 days. And this, how long are you here? Where have you been?
Sure.
Where do you want to go back to?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, during the pandemic, I was pretty like at home in my new home, where I spent most of the years in Southern Colorado, in the San Luis Valley, which is, you know, a really beautiful, gorgeous place in the Alpine Desert, really quiet, fairly peaceful. But man, I've been to 49 out of 50 states. A lot of that prior to even getting in the van and having that, but. Everywhere. I mean, I've been spending a lot of time in California, went to Hawaii last year, Utah, all over Colorado. Those have been the top three states, I think, that I've been in the most. So,
excuse me.
Utah, Colorado, California have been like probably the top three. I mean, this past fall, I was in Kentucky, rock climbing at the Red River Gorge, spent some time in West Virginia at the New River Gorge. Always come back this past fall too. I went up to Maine and Rhode Island to take a surf trip for a few days.
I wonder how that Southwest, because I grew up in New Mexico. I'm a big fan of that half of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, East Coast is okay.
Yeah,
here, but I love the desert. I love to be out where a place where you're like, I wonder if anybody's ever stood here.
Yeah,
because there are places out there you just are like, wow, like. Maybe thousands of years ago, someone walked through here.
Maybe.
I was, when my wife and I went out to Santa Fe, we like to go out to Albuquerque and spend a few days out there.
That's great.
In October for the balloon fiesta. And I got some friends out there that still are big into the balloons and stuff. But we went out to Santa Fe for a day and we were coming back and I'm just driving and this reflection caught my eye out in the desert. And I was like, well, I should say, okay, it's like 50 feet and off the side of the highway in the desert. Right? So I'm like, what was that? So I just pull over because I'm like, we got nothing to do. So we just start walking out into the desert and we come up to this little shrine and it's like a little caricature and some hay and a few sticks and some fire.
That's
like
cool.
Somebody had a little thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how cool is that? And I'm like, well, I'm not touching it.
You know?
And it was just, I just love that.
Totally.
I love that, you know, who was here, how long ago. We follow some guys that that hike all up in there around Area 51.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is so really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
There was a guy that went missing. He went missing, and then he found this cave with this super vibration, and he freaked out, so he took off running, and he put it on his YouTube channel, and he goes, I'm going back. And then he disappeared. Kenny V. And so all these people are like, where did Kenny V go? So they're all trying to go up into these mountains around Area 51 to find the M Cave. And nobody can find it's just but I mean, you know, you find bones or you find, you know, hieroglyphs or it's just awesome.
It is. And it's easy driving too, cuz you know, it's just open space, blue sky, and you know, you can go for miles and
miles.
Yeah, totally.
Well, when we were kids, we were a big camping family, so we spent a lot of time. Are you familiar with Vallecito?
No.
Colorado?
Oh, Vallecito, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We went to Vallecito a lot. Like every summer we went to Vallecito.
Mm-hmm.
But Conchas Lake, Cochiti Lakes, all the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Just big time fun out there.
Totally, yeah. And honestly, we're not too far from Santa Fe, like 3 hours, something like that. Yeah.
Santa Fe is great.
Yeah.
Except
haven't been.
You've never been?
No, I haven't been. I hear it's amazing. Really cool artsy town. And
yeah, it's weird, though. It has. I mean, listen, check out Santa Fe. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this kind of weird thing that goes on, because in the town square, it's lined with, you know, Native Americans selling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how you doing?
Yeah.
How's it going? Maybe I'll buy something. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm full of a lot of guilt, like what happened to the Native Americans.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
It is.
And they're not happy. They're not friendly. I mean, maybe some, but they're like, you know, whatever. They got their stick. It's just, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that Mr. Beast video. It's like we're trying to help, but cover up something that really was quite tragic that happened back then.
I can't imagine.
No.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. Well, I was watching some about just how many people died just of illness. You know, the people coming across, spreading, I don't know, smallpox or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people were killed?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Gives me chills.
Chills.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of New Mexico. Our goal one day is to move back to Albuquerque.
Oh, really?
Or Santa Fe. I mean, it's funny. You can see, you know, 17 acres with gated community, 35,000.
<000. laughs> Right.
You're like, holy cow. Where here you get a tenth of an acre for $500,000.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, we could really do something pretty awesome out in New Mexico.
Totally, yeah. And it looks like they're trying to cut off a little more of the water from the Colorado River so that it'll be sustained for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I just saw something about, I think it's, is it Scottsdale? These communities that they're building up around there, and they're selling them off, and then the water people are saying, we're not giving you any water. And they're basically building expensive houses that have no water.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I hope, you know, they've gotten a lot of rain, right? They've gotten a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that there's some improvements.
Yeah. I mean, water is like gold out there.
It is gold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love the people that have the AstroTurf front yards.
In the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lived in San Diego, and when we were in San Diego, there was the water police. I mean, they would, you know, it was a conservation for water back then, and that was 93, 91, 92. Mm-hmm. So it's always been an issue.
Yeah.
But if you had like a, you know, they'd follow the trickle of water.
Yeah.
Sir, what's this?
Turn off your hose.
So 5 years, do you think, I mean, will you settle down? What do you think? What do you hope?
Well, I would say more from like a business perspective, I'm looking to like run more retreats and do more like stress reduction, relaxation things for bigger groups of people. I'm actually starting a virtual men's mental health group.
Oh.
Actually next week. So really excited about starting to do that. And I do want to cater more towards men's mental health, because I do think that that's a hole right now that's opened.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we're doing well.
No.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
I know, right?
I mean, I wonder what's up. It does sound like it's a thing guys are sort of getting a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like a lot of men want to go to college. I don't know what's going on, but it just seems like a real, it's a struggle, low point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of it's just this role confusion, because I think a lot of things are changing. A lot of things that have needed to change are changing right now in society. Yeah. But there's a lot of confusion with that role and just finding.
You mean the spectrum stuff?
What do you mean by spectrum?
Well, I don't know. People are like, oh, I know I'm a woman, but on the spectrum, I'm a guy. It's like, wait a minute.
Oh, I'm talking more about just like the role as far as like what a man is.
Okay.
Right now.
Good. I love that. But mm-hmm. We're also, you know, there's a lot of weird. I mean, it's not weird, right? Listen, everybody's got their thing. I don't want mm-hmm. to disrespect yeah. anybody, but, you know, there's spectrum. People mm-hmm. are, you know, I was born a woman, but I'm on the spectrum of being a man. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but no, I understand it is, and I think you're right. You know, we come out of this, you know, I grew up in the 80s, right? I was born in 68. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, I come out of a time very passive aggressive, mm-hmm. right? You get what you get
mm-hmm.
and you don't get upset.
Yep.
And we work in a lot of things where maybe we could have been paid more. I don't know. It was just a different time, but I think we're starting to see people stand up for their rights a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's all social media. Mm-hmm. Really, it's all the platform to have an opinion.
Totally.
Because the difference between when I was a kid and now is just that there's a place for people to complain or complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And it's out there more so that people can, you know, distribute their feelings out into the ethers.
Well, I remember when there was the little girl that fell in the well. Do you remember that? Mm. She was in Texas and I was a kid. You probably weren't even born, honestly. Mm. But this little girl fell in the well in mm-hmm. her backyard in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right when CNN was starting. CNN went full-time 24-hour coverage of this little girl in mm-hmm. the well because they dug a hole next to the well to mm-hmm. get her out, but we're all gathered around the TV. Mm-hmm. Will they get baby Jessica out of the well? But it was the first time that we really started treating the United States or CNN's coverage mm-hmm. as a community. Like, I remember going in the, and I lived in New Mexico at the time. This was in Texas.
Mm.
I remember going in my backyard and looking for a well.
Yeah.
I'm like, do we have a well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I felt like it stopped becoming community. Like, listen,
mm-hmm.
the community of that town should have surrounded, right, and supported.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it was the beginning of, you know, figuring out how to create revenue through television mm-hmm. and ads. But this is kind of what it's left is we're dealing with the whole world stuff on a daily basis.
Totally. And you speak of community, and that's like top-notch, really important thing. They've done so many studies out there that saying community is the number one predictor to have a long, healthy life. Out of above what you eat, above physical activity, stress, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it should be. I mean, it gives us the opportunity to help others
mm-hmm.
and be helped. But this whole United States is not a community.
Mm-mm.
Listen, we're the United States, and we love it, but mm-hmm. we can't... I can't, you know, I got to
pull everything in.
Got to pull it all in. Mm-hmm. But I think we're seeing a lot of people that are carrying a lot of stress mm-hmm. and anxiety and fear and worry. And like I said, I watch YouTube
mm-hmm.
and I pick exactly what I want to watch right. and I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't watch any news. You know, I just saw this morning that I guess something's been going on. I guess someone got killed again, right? Another person freaking killed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're all coming together. Mm-hmm. But we're just, and I'm like, didn't even know that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not. Very sad, sorry, mm-hmm. but it's not part of my community. My mm-hmm. community is 19958,
mm-hmm.
right, or 19971. It's mm-hmm. a smaller area.
Mm-hmm.
I can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess trying to figure out what we can handle.
You make a good point.
Do you talk to people like that? Like, hey, what are you carrying? What are you handling? I mean, what are you seeing with some of the people that you might work with in the future or currently working with? Does that ever seem like a thing? It's just trying to do too much, carry too much, worry about too much.
Predominantly, yeah. I mean, that's where most of suffering is caused, about worrying about things outside of your control.
Yeah.
So some of that's breaking it down to, you know, all right, what is it that you can, you know, can get your hands in, and kind of letting go of whatever else is out there.
I told you that we ran this morning in mm-hmm. the snow. We got snow here this morning. It was pretty awesome.
Beautiful.
you know, there was 100 reasons I was telling myself not to, starting yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one that came up with the idea. Right. I'm like, James, you want to run tomorrow? And he goes, I don't know. I think it might snow in the morning. I was like, that'll be fantastic. Yeah. You know, we have great memories of running and in snow, especially like big flake, like big flake snow.
Sure.
That's not too sloppy. And yeah, it'll be great. Love you. See you tomorrow. And I'm like, do I really want to run? Like, immediately. Right. And, but, you know, like we started talking about earlier, you know, you push through that fear, and then it just, like, we had epic morning. And I'm talking about, like, we had, we're joking, we're laughing, we hugged.
Totally.
I think I might have even told the guy I loved him this morning.
Yeah.
I love you, man. You know, it's just like, because fear stayed back at the car. Have you ever noticed that when you go on to tackle something, and when it finally, when you do push through, fear's like, I'm going to wait here.
Yeah.
And you and Mr. Humility go have a hell of a time.
Totally.
But I'll wait here.
Yeah. I actually saw a pie chart not long ago, and, you know, it was about like 95% of the pie chart was like was this big open circle, and it said anxiety above the thing. And so the bigger 95% portion was leading up to the thing, and then there's a 5% portion that said the thing. And so it was just like, you know, makes you think about that. Like with anything, as soon as you get going, doing whatever it is you're going to do, it all leaves.
Exactly. But fear does stay back and does push-ups waiting for you because, you know, you will be back.
Totally.
And you will have another interaction.
Yep.
But it is, I always tell people, like, if you want to learn about yourself, go for a run.
Totally.
I don't care if you've never run. I don't care if you run every day. That's where I learned about myself, through running.
Yep.
You know, I was a smoker. I smoked until 1999, and I wanted to be a runner. I was like, I want to run, right? I want to be that guy. And that's how I quit, is I turned to running, and it was like, run to the corner and walk four times. Run to the corner, run to the next corner, walk four times. Slowly grinding through it, but finally getting to a point where I could run, and then just, you know, I mean, I start running, and right away I'm like, what are we doing this? And then, like, mile two, I'm killing all my enemies. Yeah. And mile three, I'm walking over their bodies. And mile four, I'm like, you all right? And, you know, I'm picking them, everybody, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then, like, mile five, we're kumbaya on it. Hey. And then you know, all of a sudden I'm a poet, right? Or I'm a musician.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot a movie.
Yeah.
I become everything.
That's great.
It's an amazing experience when fear is gone.
Yeah, and I can say the same. Surfing actually taught me the most about myself.
Okay.
Because I was lucky enough to be born quite athletic.
Yeah.
And so I was able to pick up on most.
Got a good caricature.
Yeah.
It's ripped.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was lucky enough to be able to pick up on most sports pretty quickly. And so, I grew up in Georgetown, not far from here, and spent, you know, summers.
County seed.
Yeah, right? County seat?
County seat.
Well, I spent a lot of summers like bodyboarding, boogie boarding out in the water. So I knew how to catch a wave. But then, of course, you know, I start getting into it and then I get all frustrated because it's all about timing and being right in the perfect position and, you know, laying your body. And I just remember one day I like didn't catch a wave or I fell for like the 400th time that day. And I just like I punched the next wave like as hard as I could with my arm, and I was just like really angry and upset and frustrated, and it changed my life because I realized that like I'm out here in the ocean. I'm here to have fun. Like you just have to let go of that like pressure of like this performance pressure of yourself. And it was this beautiful awakening, I guess, in myself where I was like, I need to let go of a lot of things.
It's true. There's a great book called Drop the Rock. I don't know if you've read it.
No, I haven't.
It talks about these rocks that we carry around our neck.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's sort of like peace and then there's sort of like serenity, right? What's the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept, to have acceptance, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Acceptance, courage, and wisdom. It's like, wow, could I have all that?
All of
right?
it? Yeah.
But you... And these people are on this boat, right? And they're headed over to Serenity Island. And they're like, and they look over, and on the shore is Mary. Mary missed the boat. Mary's swimming over. But Mary's got a, you know, Mary's carrying a rock around her neck. And she starts drowning.
Yeah.
And she can't get to the boat. They're like, drop the rock, Mary. Just drop it. You know, and that's how my life is dropping. Or like you just said, you know, what am I, And surfing's almost worse. I haven't done. I can't surf. I've never been able to do it. I have never been able to carry a board out to the water and try.
Really?
Because of all the fear.
Huh?
Who's? What are they going to think?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Holly, you know, some, you know, I don't want to go out there and find out that everybody out there is Hawaiian
right.
in Delaware. Yeah. I don't want to get my ass kicked trying to surf. So I create a whole scenario of why I shouldn't be out there.
Yep.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. at least with running, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Right. There's no real competition visually, but surfing is like, because you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be. And you know the funny part is everybody out there more than likely is on your side supporting you with love and caring and would do anything they can to help mm-hmm. you learn how to surf.
Yep.
But we sort of paint this, or our fear side of us paints a picture of those guys and girls out there in a different way.
Yeah, like the one person out of 30.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's what sticks in our mind, not just with surfing, but with everything too. You know, it's the racism or, you know.
Yeah,
sexualism or whatever it is, you know, we think about the one negative person that we've had this encounter with and lay it all out there and think and blanket the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's really just the one, you know, just the one. Like,
well, I think it's identifying fear.
It is.
I had this revelation the other day, like I shared, man. I was like, whoa, you mean everything I've ever decided really to do most of the time has been based on fear.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what I'm not going to get, what's my family not going to get, what's going to happen to us mm-hmm. if we don't do it. Like when I have my job, but I mean, I do. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I've had a few jobs, a few careers. The first three I did not like based totally on fear.
Mm-hmm.
This one was based on fear as well because I sort of was running out of options.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be a hairdresser, yeah. right? That's what you do when you're 14 in 10th grade and your mom's like, maybe a hairdresser might be a good idea. Like what? But finally, you know, getting to it, but yeah. finally having a job that I truly love, but. God, some of our biggest some of the biggest things I've done, commitments I've made, were all based on fear and end up being very miserable experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called The Fourth Turning, and they talk about this. We're in the crisis right now, this last 80 or last 20 years of a 85-year chunk of time.
Mm.
And they said the saviors are going to, or the people that are going to save us are going to be the millennials.
That's me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. well, and people are like, millennials.
Yeah, right.
They don't do anything, yeah. right? But the reality is that you take, you know, a person prior to the pandemic and maybe you were a server or mm-hmm. maybe you were teaching rock wall mm-hmm. climbing at the
sure.
gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had a 9-to-5. That was your job. This pandemic allowed people to say, you know what? I'm not doing that. And now we're so let's say you were a server prior to the pandemic and mm-hmm. after, now you're painting a mural on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the artists, these people, and we're seeing it, you know, whether it's in TikTok, Reels, Shorts, YouTube, these, you know, 2-second, 3-second, 4-second clips that have become very entertaining, but it's just a ton of artsy
totally
people
yeah.
doing awesome stuff.
Yeah. People like living their passion.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and figuring out how to make revenue on it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were chatting a bit because you do have a van. I do follow a couple people on YouTube that I forget their name. You've probably seen them because I think they have the same van as you.
They might,
must
yeah.
be the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter.
I got the Ford Transit.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. there's a couple that are a hot van for this kind of thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And do you know who I'm talking about? She has dark brown hair and he's kind of a, I forget their names, but they're really pop. They do a really good job on the,
nah, not
on
sure.
the YouTube. Yep. But I said to you, do you have a YouTube channel? And you're like, well, I thought about it. And, you know, you're trying to figure out how do I find this peace and serenity and tranquility of doing nothing but just staying in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, trying to figure out how to incorporate a way to create revenue in YouTube.
Totally.
And mm-hmm. be sort of held hostage to that.
Yeah.
So you're trying to find serenity, mm-hmm. but at the same time in the process doing it, you're creating stress.
Yeah.
So... You haven't done that yet. You haven't started a YouTube channel.
No.
You thought about it. I guess that is a tough when you have to figure out how to feed the family if that's what you're gonna if that's the path you're gonna take.
I mean, I've definitely considered it because you know then you're just creating content and kind of living out there and doing whatever it is you kind of feel like and advertising and marketing in that way. And
yeah.
these guys make quite a bit of money just off their YouTube channels.
Yeah,
but in the same way, I don't know if I would feel the same purpose or meaningfulness in life doing that.
Well, for me,
it's weird when you say, like, or not you say, but I, like I said, well, money ain't important, right? Mm-hmm. But that's only becoming from a guy that just can't seem to create a lot of it. You know, yeah. That seems to be a great position. Hey, I don't need no money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, you know, and you also don't want to lose the serenity and tranquility of doing what you're doing and getting caught up in the revenue, because there's always another person coming along. I like the idea that you're doing other stuff, mm-hmm. you know, training and, you know, brick. I don't know if it's brick and mortar. I guess you're doing some on Zoom, Zoom, but you have something, you know, like this podcast. We don't make any money on this podcast.
Yeah.
You aren't trying to.
No.
Because that's, we made a little money and someone complained about something and the people we were getting paid took the money away. I was like,
yeah, oh,
that's no fun. So I said, you know what? Forget money. I have another job.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I have that to support this, but man, it is. And then if you start making money, people start having opinions and it's.
For sure.
It changes it.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Like then if I was in the van, people would want to see specific things or do things. And now I'm not living the life that I would like to live there. I'm living the life that people want me to live.
You're consumed in fear again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Boo to fear.
Boo. Yeah.
So you're back here. You're going to be traveling back over to, when do you go back to Colorado?
Next Thursday.
You're leaving for Colorado, driving back?
Yep, driving back.
That is a boring drive.
You know, it is.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, man. Beautiful.
I had a buddy, and he was talking about when you drive from Colorado to the East Coast, he would, what did he say? He was like, the plains in the Midwest, he's like, it clears your mind to get prepared for the East Coast because it's just like nothing. But when you drive through Kansas for a full day,
dude, Texas is brutal.
Texas is pretty brutal. I think I prefer Texas over Kansas though.
Yeah.
Because Kansas, the wind's just like whipping the whole time.
Okay.
So you're like steering wheels, like, you know, at whatever, 10 degrees, like off the center. And that's 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
Just that.
When we moved here, I drove from San Diego to Rehoboth and I think took 5 days in a 20-foot U-Haul with a car trailer and two cats. And it was in February. It was like this time of year. I think I got here February 4th, 1994.
Wow.
Is when I moved here. Mm-hmm. February 4th, 1994. It was during the ice storm.
Almost 28 years exactly.
Yep. And
it was during that ice storm.
Yep.
I remember that when I was a kid.
It was a big ice storm.
Yeah.
And we got stuck in Norfolk because of the bad weather.
Wow.
We were stuck. And the U-Haul, the hood of the U-Haul, had about 10 inches of snow and ice on it.
Whoa.
And we finally were like, we got to get out of Norfolk. So we headed. It had stopped. The big storm had stopped. So we were on that, not the Bay Bridge, but the...
Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but it used to go, and we're just, and this 18-wheeler passes
us.
I don't know why, because it felt like everybody had their own side, but for some reason we were both, I don't know if they had put everybody on one side and they were doing some construction or But this 18-wheeler passes going the other way, and the whole sheet of ice lifted up and hit the windshield. And I'm like, it was so scary. We lived, but that was a long trip.
Yeah.
And coming to, you know, when you come through San Diego, out of San Diego up into like El Paso, it's a long, grindy drive.
Totally. Just deserty and desolate.
Yeah.
I just did that about a year ago at this point. Yeah. Went down from down to Albuquerque and over to San Diego and,
two of my favorite places.
Oh, Albuquerque and San Diego. Have you ever been to Central Coast, California?
What's Central Coast?
Like San Luis Obispo, that area?
No, the farthest I ever went in California was L.A.
San Luis Obispo is beautiful. Yeah.
There isn't beautiful many places area in San Diego or California that aren't pretty much beautiful.
I know. I was in Joshua Tree, this time last year. Amazing. Have you been to Joshua Tree?
I've never been there.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd like to go.
Gotta go.
Yeah. But, you know, I spent my whole, you know, from first grade to first year of college in Albuquerque. So my whole life was spent on motorcycles, dirt bikes, hiking, rolling boulders, looking for caves. I mean, chasing hot air balloons.
Right.
When the last time we were there, I took my wife, Christine, and my buddy, Billy. Shout out to Billy. He, you know, he's like you. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's weird. East Coast is so different. But, you know, out in New Mexico, my buddy Billy, he has this cool camper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great camper, but it's his camper, yeah. right? His motorhome. He trailers all his bikes. They go out to the desert with a bunch of friends. They drink beer and eat tacos for breakfast and ride motorcycles all day.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, that is so awesome. But you don't see that really happening here
Mm-mm.
as much on the East Coast. But the last time we were out there, we wanted to go. We sort of wanted to ride on a hot air balloon, right?
Yeah.
But we were a little nervous.
Yeah.
And we were chasing balloons out in trucks. And my wife's like, oh, my God, you know, because she's born in New York City. So we're out in the desert in the Mesa chasing hot air balloons. And they finally, this guy's balloon comes down and everybody grabs it. And he comes and he goes, you guys ready? We're like, yeah. So we jump in this freaking hot air balloon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a hot air balloon?
No, I haven't.
It is scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary. And this these burners take off and we go out and I'm holding on to this freaking pole. Because I can see the ground through the basket.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's a basket.
It's just a basket.
It's literally
yeah, yeah.
a basket.
Yeah.
So I can see light, you know. I'm like, oh, my God. But we were at the top of the Sandias. I mean, we're flying right at the top, and I think they're 10,000 feet.
Mm.
I think Albuquerque sits around 5,000 something feet.
Sounds about right.
So yeah. I'm like trying, here's me. I'm trying to take a picture of my phone. I'm just posting. I can't even. It was so scary, but it was so awesome. And then we landed, and we're in this field with all these folks from New Mexico eating tacos for breakfast and drinking beer. And I didn't have any beer, but it was just cool, man. It was like, it's one of the greatest things that I've always loved about New Mexico was just sort of this kind of camaraderie with people and the outdoors. And
totally. It's different. It's definitely different out west. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, man, good to see you.
Likewise.
You're awesome.
This has been great.
Doing great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Yeah. Like this stuff.
Well, we just try to help. Support. Yeah. So when you get your business going, are you going to be here a lot?
We're rolling. To be determined. I'm kind of going to kind of be like in and out, back and forth. Yeah. So.
But you'll be back.
I'll be. Oh, for sure.
So you come do a podcast with me?
Yeah. I'll do another podcast with you.
Yeah, because we can talk some spirituality stuff.
Oh man.
Figure it out. Go on Facebook and find Eddie Harrell. Man, he is awesome.
Okay.
He is, and he comes. He does seminars and stuff. But his breathing stuff, I didn't realize, you know, it's a radiator. Mm-hmm. We're a radiator. And, you know, we would do these spinning classes and he'd be like, all right, two out, zombie, and three in, you know, ocean. And you're like, you do it, but you don't realize that your body, when you restrict it, you get hot.
Totally.
You get warmed up.
Yeah.
And I could go for a run and then practice some of these things that Eddie would teach us, and I could just start sweating and not really being doing just by restricting the ability to expel the hot air out of us.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've definitely read, I don't know if you've read James Nestor's book, Breathe or Breath.
I don't read any books.
Yeah.
Well, I should, though.
Audio book. Okay. You get the audio book and listen to it. But,
well, tell me about it.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, he just did like a full longitudinal study, like research journalist study on breathing, and just went through all the different techniques, learned from all the gurus all over the place. And if you're into breathing, which everyone should be into breathing because that's how we live,
right?
It's worth a read just to check it out.
I think what was cool for me is just understanding it, right? I just
totally,
you know, and now I'm very focused. Like, I only try to breathe through my nose at night, you know. I don't think people realize, but we're supposed to really breathe through our nose. We're not really mouth breathers.
James actually says, you know, that's a thing. In and out the nose connects to your vagus nerve, which is kind of like your PVC pipe to your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your relaxed mode nervous
third
system
eye.
Response. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is that I've heard that there's a gas that is released in your sinuses that, as you breathe it in, it helps with your lungs. It helps with all sorts of stuff. So the sinuses play a big role. The other thing is that if you can't breathe through your nose, give it a second.
Totally.
You know, because I also didn't realize how really loose my sinuses are. Mm-hmm. Like, I can be I can breathe, but if I lay down on my right side, like when I go to bed, I lay on my right side. My right passage is wide open. My sinuses sort of lay over to the left, and I can breathe. If I lay on my right, you must have fat sinuses because everything kind of collapses, and I can't breathe out of my nose. So, you know, I always tell people, figure out where you can breathe, you know, but really, you know, it's almost like this weird thing, but me trying to breathe more through my nose is, and I find it really comforting.
Well, like evolutionary, James Nestor talks about our brains have grown.
Yeah.
And it's actually pushing up against our sinus cavities.
Oh.
Which allows us not to breathe through our nose as well as, you know, we used to thousands of years ago.
What are you saying? My brain isn't very big?
Your brain? Yeah.
I can breathe fine through my nose. What's going on, Trey?
Yeah, your brain must be shrinking then.
I got shrinkage. Well, listen, man, you're on Facebook, just Trey Bell? What's your Instagram?
Trey Bell.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, follow Trey. Check him out. You're on a great journey. It's fun to watch.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Congratulations on your family. And
I appreciate that.
Please come back if you're in town.
Yeah, I would love to.
I love a good chat.
Yeah, totally.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take it easy.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
See you.